talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
Scott Spears along with you here on this Getaway Friday. Friday, June the 5th, 2026. First Friday in the month of June, National Donut Day. 13 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan. We've got a special guest tonight from 8 to 10 on this station you're not going to want to miss. And then, Matt, what's coming up on your show tonight, live at 10?
Tonight we are going to be discussing largely, I guess, the Trump administration. His name has been taken off the Kennedy Center, and, you know, legislation has been passed for the war in Iran, and so on and so forth.
You know, listening to that clip of that was on this program, the Exchange Club, back in 2019, and thinking about the anniversary of this station coming up next Wednesday, June the 10th, 12 years, this show, the Exchange Club itself, actually started on a different station. This show started in April of 2009. So this show has been on 17 years.
That's nice. I was five.
That's a long run.
Five of them.
You know, when this show started, I certainly didn't think it'd be on 17 years later.
Why?
Well, who would have thought? It was just a throwaway idea.
How? I mean, it's just like a discussion show, I guess.
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't anything I particularly thought about doing. What happened was at that time, the radio station decided that they were going to go to 24 hours. And they asked me if I wanted to do the overnights, which I think consisted of, I think it was Sunday through Thursday night. And I think you went in at 11 at night and you got off at like 6 in the morning, something like that. So, keeping those hours, I knew that I obviously was not going to be there in the morning when they were doing the morning show, and I certainly was going to have trouble coming in the daytime to tape interviews, which is what I had been doing up until that point. So I decided, well, how can I keep myself on the air with a consistent presence, you know? Instead of, because normally before that it had been the interviews, what I'd been doing on a consistent basis. But I thought that would have been harder. So I came up with the idea. Originally it was a history program. I thought we'd get a group of people together and pick a subject every week, Marion history, and we'd discuss it. And we did the first one at the Harding Hotel, and it was Trella Romine and Marianne Michaels and George Kasotis. And we did it up there, and we would tape three at a time, because I figured getting a group together every week would be difficult. So we would tape three at a time, and they would air for a period of 3 weeks. And we did that, and we did historic events for like, I don't know, maybe a couple months. And then I realized we'd run out of historic events to talk about in Marion. So then, what do you do that's infinite? Well, current events. So then it became current events, and then the overnight thing did not last long. I think I only did the overnight thing for maybe 3 or 4 months. That went away, so I thought, well, this show will go away, but people liked it by that point. And it was airing every Thursday morning, and I thought, well, we can do this. And then Primrose agreed to let us tape it in front of a live, or they asked us, actually, to tape it in front of a live studio audience out there every 3 weeks. Because we were bringing in people, and that's what happened.
Well, that's good.
17 years later, we're still here. So that's pretty good.
I think, yeah. I mean, longevity doesn't lie.
Yeah, well, longevity's no mistake. I think that's true. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So what's your favorite memory here in 3 years?
I don't know. I mean, like going to, like, I don't know, going to the Little Brown Jug was pretty cool. I mean, meeting DeWine, I guess, at the Little Brown Jug specifically was pretty cool. I mean, I don't know. I think meeting the governors was pretty cool. WrestleMania was you know, like, once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing.
Yeah, that was fun. You know, I'm looking at this Women's Club brochure here, and, you know, it's very nice. Very
Top nice. Of the Rock was nice.
Yeah.
It was a good view from up there.
We never heard from you during that
That's right.
portion of the program, no. Because you had a falling out at that point with Carrington.
Hey, it was her recorder. She can do what she wants.
You just sat there.
It was her recorder.
All right, the phone lines are open if somebody'd like to buzz in. 740-383-9944. You know, let's play that clip again of President Trump with Caitlin Collins. It was an interesting exchange of CNN. Well, it wasn't an exchange. It was all kind of one-sided. But here's how it was on Wednesday. And remember, Caitlin Collins didn't even ask a question. So I'm still not sure where a lot of this comes from. But here we go.
We are going to be showing over the coming weeks and months, you're not even going to believe. Some of you will believe it. Like CNN will believe it because they knew what was going on. They're crooked as hell. CNN's a very corrupt organization. But with a corrupt reporter standing right there, never smiles. She never smiles. She's a young, beautiful woman, never smiles. I never see a smile off her face. I see her standing there with hatred in her eyes, like she has hatred because we have borders, because we have a strong military, because we cut our taxes, because we do things that everybody wanted, and then we win our election in a massive landslide. You should be ashamed of yourself. You used to be a conservative. She was a conservative from Alabama, can you believe it? But CNN, in particular, CNN does such false reporting. But now they have new ownership, so maybe it'll straighten it out. I doubt it. But it's hard to straighten garbage out.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. See, I just can't picture Jack Kennedy saying something like that. Or Richard Nixon.
Oh, I couldn't think of a president who would say something like that.
I just would like to know what the point was.
I assume he was just trying to avoid answering whatever question he was asked.
Oh, God, let's not play it again. Okay. Well, I don't know. So he just decided to smack around CNN?
Yeah, don't look over here, look over here.
Yeah, but isn't that advertisement for CNN?
I still don't get it. So let me get this straight. A lot of people aren't going to believe the stuff that they have coming out, but CNN will believe it because they're corrupt.
I don't know. He called them garbage at one point.
I don't... It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But, yes, he did call them garbage.
Why did he go after the report? Oh, she's a beautiful woman, but she's got hatred in her eyes, and she never smiles, and... I don't understand.
I guess because she was the CNN... She just happened to be there for CNN.
But was everybody in that room smiling?
I would doubt it.
You know what's interesting is the turning this Iran war. That's the thing that has caused people to turn on Donald Trump. Maybe more than the Epstein files.
Well.
But they really have. I mean, I was in a conversation the other night with somebody who's a very heavy-duty supporter of Donald Trump at one point. And, boy, they didn't have anything good to say about him.
Wars are never good.
Yeah, but they kind of laid it all on Israel is running him, and so on and so forth. And it was a very negative conversation.
I certainly think that Netanyahu has, like, convinced Trump that somehow this is going to be, like, world peace or something.
Well, it doesn't seem that way.
No. No, it does not.
I don't know. I just think that it's so interesting how people have turned on him.
You think Iran's going to keep the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, why wouldn't they?
Well, they didn't have it before.
Yeah, but why would they change at this point? They can see they're winning this. They're losing?
I mean, I guess it depends on losing what. I mean, the war itself.
What have they lost?
There were, like, reports coming out of the Pentagon that, like, they still had something like 70% of their military, which, I mean, I guess 70%'s, you know, well over half. But, you know,
I was told by,
like,
a lot of
70%,
people.
Like, to wipe out 30% of somebody's military in a few months is kind of absurd. So, like if we had this thing going on for a full year and we were bombing them and doing whatever we've been doing to the full extent of what we have been, yes, we would win the war. I think that their public is in favor of the war and our public is not. Or I don't know about in favor of the war, but
no, this is what I keep hearing. You know, I've heard this since late February now, that this was going to be easy. They're nowhere near the power than anybody
else.
Who
thought it was going to be easy?
Oh, you did. I remember the conversations we had right after that. You said Israel's got the dome, and we're the United States.
Israel's got the dome.
And Iran is nothing, and they don't have capabilities. They can't do anything. They can't put the pressure on anybody. They are essentially a nothing. And there were other people I talked to at that time who said Iran can't fight back. They want liberation. People are going to do this and that. Well, here we are. 4 months later, nothing changing except our gas prices.
We're more effective than they are, but, like, the Iron Dome is very effective. How many missiles have touched down in Israel? If they didn't have the Iron Dome, it'd be significantly
more. I'm saying you have essentially got Iran, which people considered a nothing country, standing up against Israel and Iran with basically no support for 4 months. And it has gotten to the point where our own Congress is trying to stop our president.
Israel is not really helping us.
They certainly are. They're bombing Iran when we weren't.
Well, it's because we weren't bombing Iran.
Right. Well, that certainly isn't helping them.
Like, at the very least, I don't know how many missiles they've dropped, but I know that right now they're at war with Gaza, you know, Hamas, and they're at war with Lebanon.
But that's not the conversation that was had months ago.
So they're like, I don't think Israel can fight a three-front war. Well, I think Israel has basically opted out of the war in Iran and just said, hey, you got that. And
but to hear other people tell it, they're the ones who got us into it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now are we in it or not? I don't know.
Are we in what?
The Iran war. Because Congress apparently says no.
Congress, that's not what happened.
What did Congress do?
Congress passed legislation to either, there's also some timeline on there, I don't know what the timeline is, but passed legislation to either force Trump to withdraw from Iran.
There you go.
Or come to Congress and basically, you know, lobby for an extension.
So what do you think that is?
Well, I think there's not a terrible chance that Donald Trump shows up to Congress.
You really think he'll... And he's going to give some great lobbying speech that's going to get people to vote yes.
I mean, he only needs, like, 3 votes.
Oh, who voted to have him come do this? Why do you think they're having him come do this? They didn't have to have him come do this.
I mean,
And why is the other option pull out? Why do you think that's even being mentioned? Why didn't they just say, you need to come here and explain what you're doing? No, they said, you need to come here and explain what you're doing, or we're pulling out.
Because,
to me,
Congress took some authority for once.
No.
Yeah,
No, that's not what has happened. What has happened is this is going badly. People have midterm elections coming up, and there are Congress people who have lost their primary because of Trump and now are not voting with him. He could come there and he knows he could lobby all day, and these people are not going to vote for him at this point. They do not want to go in the midterms with $4.50 gasoline. They do not want to go in the midterms with Iran war going on.
Too late for that.
I don't know. How long's the extension?
I'd have to look it up.
I don't think it's 6 months.
No. Well, I mean, he'd probably... probably not 6 months. But, I mean, I don't think gas... I mean, even if we, like, left today, I mean, gas is... I mean, it's probably... It'll go back down.
Gas will go down very quickly.
You think it'll just instantly be like, oh, look at that, $3.25.
Well, I've seen it go down 80 cents in the last week, and I think that has a lot to do with the fact of what Congress is doing. And also, what are we doing in Iran at this point? Nothing, really.
Blockading a blockade.
Are we, really? Do you have proof of this? Again, what happened with that?
Didn't
our president say at one point, we're just blown through that? Did that happen?
Again, I mean, like, we have destroyed roughly, like, 30% of their entire military.
Open?
The Strait of Hormuz?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, why not? We were supposed to be.
I mean, like...
That was like a month ago.
Well, Because they don't want to give it up. Look.
Yeah, but that wasn't what we said. We said, we're coming in there and we're going to blow through you.
And we kind of have.
Well, it opened? That was the whole point?
No, not the strait.
Okay, we're running Iran now? We're telling them what to do?
Okay.
What have we blown through?
What percentage of our military do we still have left? Probably in the 90s.
Again,
well, 90. I mean,
We're not fighting a war with them like that. That's not what this is, and they know that.
Like
that never would have been.
Again,
this isn't World War II.
Like 70% of their, 70% is an average, because it's like, you know, like, I don't remember the exact numbers, but like, their Air Force, their Navy, and their missile capabilities are the three things that were gauged, because it's not a land war. And so, overall, you have an average of about 70% effectiveness, or however you want to phrase that. So
that's pretty good. 70% effectiveness.
You've lost, like, 30%.
Right. Against the world superpower, and you've still maintained your regime. You've still maintained your Strait of Hormuz.
Also, it would probably help if Donald Trump wasn't making the calls, and it was actually, you know, somebody who knew what they were doing, and that they didn't cycle through generals in the White House.
And not only did you have America attacking you, you had Israel attacking you for a good portion of this. And you've maintained 70% of your army when your leader was killed. You've went through a successful regime change. You've been able to keep your people together. You went head-to-head with the United States on a stand-down when the United States said, we're going to come and blow you off the face of the earth, and it didn't happen?
It was a lie. The people in Iran do not want, I don't know, they like to say democracy, but, they don't want Western-style government, at the very least.
Right, which is what I said.
So Donald Trump lied and said, hey, all these people, once we bomb the Ayatollah, problem solved. No, it was a load of bullcrap.
No, but I am told that we are going to go in there and knock them off the face of the earth, and that is not how geopolitics work. I don't know where people get the idea.
30% of their military.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they had 10% of their military left. They are still in power, and they are still holding the cards.
If we keep up the same pace
We're not going to. Yep. We can't afford it.
Yes, I agree. I'm just anti-war in general. We could certainly afford it. I don't think we'd want to afford it. That's the difference. But like, if we were to keep it up as long as we have,
but we're not.
Okay.
So the point is.
But he could. All right.
But he can't.
So long as he.
He's not going to. Not going to be allowed to.
He would have to lobby Congress.
We would run out of money. We cannot outlast them that way with missiles. It is not going to happen. Absolutely is not going to happen. And clearly, we're absolutely not going to... They're not going to surrender with missiles. And clearly, Israel is too... spread too thin to help us here.
People don't surrender.
Oh, people have surrendered. This is a problem. And if we could deal with it, if it could be done, we would have done it.
You got to, like, literally overthrow people.
Exactly.
I mean, like,
was not gonna happen.
I mean, like, look at the Chinese Civil War. I mean, they literally got pushed off of all of mainland China, got pushed to Taiwan, and said, "Hey, we're still the Chinese government."
Yeah, but I don't understand what you're saying here. Nobody is confused that Iran is smaller than us. Nobody's confused that America is the superpower, and we spend more on our military than the next 10 countries combined, I think 7 of which are our friends. There is no doubt that if this were a war with Iran and the United States head-to-head, that Iran would lose. They don't deny that. But the fact that we attacked them, they did not attack us, we have not disabled their nuclear capability, which we have said we did twice. We have not defeated their army, only 30%, which they have said we did. We have not overthrown their regime, which we said we did twice. And we have not opened up the Strait of Hormuz, which we said we were going to do. And we also gave them an ultimatum saying we're going to blow them up the face of the earth, which we didn't even drop a bomb at that time.
I think we could open up the Strait.
Then why wouldn't you do it?
Well, I think it'd be an escalation.
Well, why wouldn't we want to escalate it if we're the winner?
Well, escalation's no good.
Well, you just said we're 50 times more powerful than them.
Yeah.
So who cares? We're not going to feel the consequences of that.
I mean,
they
like,
are.
If we deployed like an actual like whole like, I mean, we've deployed ships and we got a fleet down there, but if we deployed like a whole war fleet, like, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think you understand that this country cannot do that. We wouldn't do it in Syria.
We could get some planes.
We wouldn't do it in Libya. We wouldn't do it in Syria.
You literally have to amass an army.
That's not how this country works. We don't operate like that.
Well, apparently we do. We also used to not bomb people indiscriminately until, you know, up until
and you
recently.
Saw what you've seen what happened in the last 4 months.
We bombed a school.
We didn't bomb people because we knew what would happen. You've seen it.
Bombing in...
Name one president, name one in the last 30 years who has done something like this and had this kind of outcome.
Something like what?
What we've seen with Iran.
I mean, Obama certainly airstriked a lot of people.
Yeah, and
Obama
why...
Obama loved the airstrikes.
And why didn't the gas prices skyrocket? Why didn't we get into a war that cost more than every war between World War II and then now?
Well, Barack Obama also made an energy deal with...
You're saying he airstriked more people. Why were we not in that situation under him?
Well, he didn't airstrike Iran.
Why?
He made
so much more powerful. They want regime change.
He made a deal with Iran. See, because diplomacy.
Why?
Because diplomacy is always the better of the two options.
But they're crazy. I thought they don't do that.
I don't think that. Obama is smart enough not to think that.
I think President Trump said that was a horrible deal, and he's the one who tore up the deal.
He did say that.
So what case you got here? I'm still sitting here trying. I'm trying to figure this out.
I do not think it should be continued, if that's the question.
No, that's not the question. The question is, which again, I've been asking for 4 months without an answer. And if somebody's got the answer, I would love to hear it, because everybody goes off down these rabbit holes every time I ask the question. 740-383-9944. Why would we ever think that Iran was just going to roll over when we started bombing them? Why did anybody think that they were just not going to be a country anymore? Why did they think that just because the Ayatollah was dead, that regime change was going to happen? Why did they think that their nuclear capabilities were totally disabled? Why did they think they weren't going to go straight to the Strait of Hormuz and cause our gas prices to go through the roof?
Ask one question at a time.
Oh, I'm looping all those because apparently that was supposed to be over in about a week back in February.
Yeah, well, that was... Look, putting a timeline on conflict is always a dumb thing to do.
Put 4 or 5 months on it now, whatever it's been. 3 months? 4 months? What, four?
Oh, well, if he said that it was going to take 6 months and we're 4 months in and I read that he destroyed 30% of the military, I'd be like, okay, well, you were doing pretty right.
Iran, with 10%, is not going to surrender.
I didn't say they were.
No, but I think that... See, you're not answering my question.
You asked like a dozen questions.
Which all...
One at a time. Okay, I'll do one at a time.
No, which all lead to this question. Why is Iran still there? Why do they still have 70% of their military? Why are they controlling the Strait of Hormuz? Why are our gas prices nearly $5 when they were $2.50
in
February?
Again, that's like a dozen questions.
No, these all... They should be gone. None of this should have happened.
Because it was lies.
No, but you're saying we are the most powerful military on the face of the earth,
yep.
And standing up to us, they can't last a minute. Which is exactly what the president was saying.
Because this isn't like a full-scale war.
Why not?
You put ground... I mean, now, again, I am not supporting an escalation of the war. I think the war should just end, but... Like, if we were to do, a full-scale war...
But you can't say if. I'm saying, why hasn't it happened?
Because it's unpopular. The war's unpopular.
Yeah, okay. But we spent more money on it than any other war between World War II and now. Why'd we do that?
Well, because bombs are expensive.
Yeah, that's why this whole bombing idea has always been nonsense. Oh, we're going to bomb them into the Stone Age. Well, you know, bombs cost money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what have we accomplished? Explain to me exactly what we've accomplished since February.
I mean, as far as, goals?
Yeah. I mean, what have we accomplished that we... What were we supposed to be doing anyway?
I mean...
Disabling their nuclear capability.
We didn't
Is
disable
that done?
It. We set
no,
it back.
No, but that's what this was all about. They said, we're not disabling this. Okay, here we come.
We set it back.
Did we get rid of it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Set it back. Bomb the enrichment facilities. They're, you know, not like... They're not like, you know, obliterated, I think is the word Trump used. But they're certainly
there's
damaged.
Still a question. There's still a question of all this. We're only getting reports from what our military is providing. And frankly, I don't know what's coming out of the Pentagon at this point.
I think the Pentagon still has reliable information. I think Donald Trump just lies through his teeth. Don't take anything Donald Trump says. Like, Donald, like okay, the 70% number comes from the Pentagon. Or, I guess, let me rephrase.
And the guy who's running intelligence right now, the housing man?
The 70% comes from... Well, again, I mean, like, they split it into three different numbers. I'm the one who like, averaged it out to 70. But, like, nonetheless...
What department is that coming from?
Do you want me to pull up the thing?
I'm just saying the people who run these intelligence agencies right now are a little shaky.
I know I read it on the AP, and the AP said that, you know, anonymous source... So, okay. Well, there's that. So, I don't really know, actually. But, I mean, I'll see if I can't find the article.
Well, again, let's say it's true. So, what have we accomplished?
We set back their nuclear program.
Okay. What have they accomplished?
Classified U.S. Intelligence and CIA assessments indicate Iran still retains roughly 70% of its pre-war missile stockpile and mobile launchers.
And you know, you see that as a lot of stuff. They obviously don't the way they wrote that. Still maintains after all these months and all this money of bombing.
No. Still retains.
Still right. That's not only retains. Only retains would be, that's a big loss for them.
30% is a big loss.
No, it's not. With all the money we've spent and all the bombs we've dropped.
If I had $100 and you took $30 away, I'm left with $70. That's a lot.
Right.
That's over a quarter.
I don't think you understand the...
That's over a quarter.
Again, we are the most powerful military in the world.
Yeah.
We dropped more money in bombs on them than we have since World War II on anybody.
Because bombs...
And they still have over half of their military intact.
Bombs aren't tanks and manpower and planes and navy.
It isn't happening.
I agree.
So, we did what we did. We spent all that money. Everything since 1940. We spent it all and got 30%.
And by the way, the most recent peace deal negotiations, Iran wants 300...
What did we get?
300 million? 300 billion? I don't know, a lot of money to rebuild.
What does it matter how much of their military is intact if we're not going to fight their military?
Well, I mean, 30%, to wipe out 30% with nothing but bombs.
Nothing but bombs? Do you know how many bombs were dropped?
Well, I mean, it's still nothing but bombs.
That's a lot of bombs.
It is a lot of bombs. I agree, yeah.
What other country have we bombed like that ever?
We haven't.
There you go. Well, we got 30% of little Iran's army knocked out with dropping more bombs than we ever have on any other country at any given time.
They're just bombs.
What else were we going to do?
You can fly planes over
there. Well, no, you can't fly planes over there, because the second that would have tried to have happened, you can guarantee Congress would have shut him down.
They did fly planes over there, and planes did get shot down.
Right. Well, okay, so...
Yeah, Iran's got air defenses. You know, I mean,
you're saying just flying planes over is going to stop this?
No, but, like, bombs are cheaper than missiles. I mean, if you wanted to keep bombing them, I'd use planes.
You can't. There does come a point where money is an issue. And money is an issue right now. Why do you think Congress is getting involved?
Because people are unhappy about it.
Why are people unhappy?
Well, because...
Do you think they really care about the Iranian people?
Maybe. No, I don't think the majority of them do. But I think it's probably more to do with the fact that you got like $5 gas.
How'd that happen?
Well... We bombed Iran, and the first thing Iran did was take the Strait of Hormuz.
Which we were told would happen.
And also, like, we don't get a whole lot of... Actually, I don't think we get any gas or, like, oil from Iran. But Iran is one of the largest exporters. So, like, you know, you cancel off the largest... Like, one of the largest exporters, and all of a sudden you've done shrank the global market, which is why gas is expensive.
Okay, so again, why do we let that happen? Why are we letting them be in control?
I mean, if you really wanted to open the Strait of Hormuz, you'd have to sail a war fleet down there.
Right.
And then you'd have to literally, like, sink those ships.
But that's not what my president
said.
That's not what my president said.
Your president's a liar. I don't know what else to tell you. He's a liar. He's a con man.
Sorry,
he's an idiot.
He's the leader. He's making those decisions.
For now.
Like it or not. So again, my question, which yet to be answered, why are they still there? If we're the big, bad, most powerful, bomb-throwing army in the country, why do they have anything left intact? Why do they have any regime in power? Why are they able to dictate our gas prices?
Because, I mean, they have a big military. That's a lot of bombs to destroy an entire military.
Oh, again, so what's the objective there?
I guess the goal is to bomb them into submission, but it's obviously not working.
Which is exactly what I've said. So what have we gotten done in 4 months?
We set back their nuclear program.
Set back. Not got rid of. Set back.
Look, I honestly...
Set back till we stop bombing?
Yep.
Mm.
Well, I mean, they got to repair it. So, like, set back, like, you know, like 6 months.
Why do you think, no president, Carter, Reagan...
Because they listen to their intelligence
Bush.
Officers?
No, because if Iran was so little and paltry...
Because they listen to their intelligence officers?
No, you're not listening. You didn't hear the question. See, now you're not answering, waiting for the question to be asked. Why did no president between Carter and Trump, if Iran was such an easy game, because God knows they had done horrible stuff to their people, and they've said horrible stuff about America, why did we never approach them militarily?
Because they listened to their advisors.
And what were the advisors saying?
That'd be a bad idea.
Because?
They'll take the Strait of Hormuz.
And they're not going
to... And the gas prices are going to go
and
up.
And they're not going to surrender.
Nobody surrendered. We had to literally go in. It took like 2 weeks to invade Iraq.
Right.
I mean, they didn't surrender. We had to, like, go get the man. It took 2 weeks.
Right.
Now, I don't think we should have been in Iraq either, but...
But Iran is not Iraq. That's a whole different thing.
I know. I mean... Even on, like, the size scale, I mean, Iran is significantly bigger than Iraq.
Well, also, getting in there is going to be a different problem. We were friendly with people around Iraq. We don't have big...
Are we not friendly with Turkey?
I don't know.
Like, you don't think we were like, hey, Turkey, we're trying to get this thing solved, and then, like, I don't know.
Because of the first Iraq war, we had very good relationships with a lot of people in that part of the world. And we were able to march right into Iraq with no problem. Matter of fact, telling them exactly when we were going to do that.
We still...
That is not going to happen with Iran. The way they're laid out in the world, and the way... The people that are around them, that's a whole different situation. And also size, structure. You know, Vietnam didn't look like a big thing either.
Well, Vietnam was a jungle.
Yeah, well, but we thought that was going to be a walk in the park.
Well, conventional warfare and guerrilla warfare, guerrillas usually, I mean, they hop out of the trees, mow down like 20 people, and then disappear. I mean, how do you beat that?
Well, we apparently thought we could.
We thought we could. We were wrong. We lost.
There you go. And what are you going to do with this thing?
Well, you got two options. I guess you got three options, but the third one's pretty bad. You can admit that you screwed up and leave the war. You can continue to bomb them. Or I guess continuing to bomb would be like, yeah.
Can't do that forever.
And then the third option would be just like full scale invasion of Iran.
And Congress would never let him do that.
Yep.
So what do you got?
I mean,
you got what we got right now.
I mean, there's always the fourth option. I guess you could just like, but that's not. It's not going to solve the war. I mean, like I said, I mean, if the goal was to get the Strait of Hormuz back open, then I honestly think you're going to have to send a war fleet.
My point is what this all boils down to between the American people, the Congress, the Senate, the President, and Iran's government is oil prices right now. That's what it's all about. If it wasn't about oil prices, people would not be paying much attention to this whole situation at all. And so... The leader of this right now is Iran. because they are inflicting that on us, and we can't seem to do a thing about it. If the president could lower the gas prices, if Congress or the Senate could lower the gas prices, you can better be sure that they would do that.
They could release, you know, loads of oil from the reserves.
And why don't they do that?
You'd have to take that up with them.
Well, there's a reason for that. But the point is they are up because of the situation in Iran since February. Gas prices have never skyrocketed to that level because of any incursion in any other part of the country.
Well, they cut off the Strait of Hormuz.
But again, why didn't we just blow them up? That was the idea back then.
Well, we did just blow them up. But
apparently not good enough.
Well, I was going to say, but it didn't do anything.
That's my point. Back to February. This is going to be such an easy thing. Bada bing, bada boom. They're so little, they can't even stand up to Israel. Look, well, okay.
We could win the war if we want to do.
What did you think was going to happen? Did you think we were going to send troops in there?
No.
Oh, so what do you think was going to happen?
I thought we were going to win, but I didn't think it was going to take, you know, the 6 months or no.
And you think in 4-5 months only knocking out 30%? That means if we're on that scale.
Let me rephrase. I thought it was going to take longer than like the like 4 or 5 weeks or whatever Donald Trump said.
So you think eventually we're just going to keep this up and?
Well, it doesn't look that way.
Okay.
Congress stepped in.
So right. Well, I wonder why.
Because we're losing.
Yeah. How'd that happen? To little old nothing Iran.
It's just gas prices.
That's going to take 2 weeks.
That's about it. Gas prices.
2 weeks? No, it's money. It's money.
Why don't they release the oil reserves?
Well, oh, hold on. Go ahead, caller.
Hello there, Scott.
Yes.
I think your current discussion shows how little Americans know about world history.
There you go.
What is the longest ground war in the 20th century?
The longest ground war?
The longest ground war between two countries in the 20th century.
Well, Israel-Palestine?
No. The longest ground war between Iran and Iraq.
Oh, okay.
In the 70s, 80s. I mean, they're both, in their region, military powers. Iran is a military power. And to think, and they were at war for, 9-10 years between the two countries, an active, hot ground war, tanks and everything. To think that we're going to go over and knock this country out, who was a military power in the region, in 1 month, ignores history.
Bob, that's my question that I can't seem to get an answer to, and I'm giving a lot of reasoning to it, but my question, and maybe you can answer this, is why in the last week of February, when this happened, was everybody telling me on the radio show and the Facebook Lives and everything I did that Iran is a nothing country, they're weak, they are easily defeatable. The United States could have knocked them out at any time. We've got the strongest military. They're a nothing. And that's that. Why was that ever a belief in anybody's mind?
Because that's always the belief of anybody going to war. Look back at the Civil War. People say, this is going to be over in 3 or 4 months. We're going to be done with it. Look at all the other wars that we've been. This is going to be over in 3 or 4 months, and we're up against nobody,
Well, my other question.
That's always the belief going into any war that we can knock them out in 3 or 4 months, three or four weeks, or whatever.
Well,
let
me ask you this, and then Matt can come in here. Because Matt's reasoning is that knocking us, the biggest military power in the world, knocking out 30% of Iran's military in 4 months by spending more money than we have spent on bombs since World War II, that's a good thing. That's a good sign. Do you think that's a good sign?
Hell no.
I didn't say it was a good sign.
That's productive.
I said that's a lot.
Well,
over a quarter of their military is now ineffective or destroyed. Yes,
you're putting
we've also been told that we.
He said, "Hell no, it's not."
Bottom. They have no navy anymore. They have no navy. Well, if they have no navy, how come they're still controlling the straits?
I said Trump's a liar. I don't believe anything Trump says. That's why I looked at the Pentagon.
That's a foreground conclusion. Nobody's arguing about that.
Yeah, but you're saying 30% of their military's gone.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. That's a good indicator that we are winning this thing.
If we kept going and wanted to spend the money.
But we're not.
Okay, yeah.
And we were never going to. So, big deal. We knocked out 30% of their military. La-di-da.
30%'s a lot.
Okay, well, again, that's good. Like you're saying it, like it's a good thing. Like this is a good thing. Bob, is this good?
Well, I think what we're forgetting is that America has a very short memory. And that we've forgotten things like, you know, the Iran-Iraq war and things of that nature. It just happened within our lifetimes. And the people in that region have a very long memory. They remember atrocities from 200 years ago. And,
okay.
And Iran is going to remember this for twice as long as we forget it. And someday there's going to be another 9/11 because, you know, we didn't, you know, we made another major enemy in the world and didn't accomplish anything in the process.
So, Bob, my question again, from the top here, why was it ever a belief that Iran was a kiddie country in the world?
Well, that's not my thinking.
But that was everybody else's?
You have to talk to people who made that decision. I think only one person made that decision.
Yes, but at that time, if I would replay the shows now, it was Iran is nothing. They have pushed us around for years, and they're not going to last. We've killed their leader, and that's that.
Apparently that thinking has been proven wrong already.
Yeah, I think a long time ago. And do you really think that Congress wants Trump to come down there and plead his case, and then those congressmen are going to go, oh, yeah, you know what, we're going to extend this?
No, they're just setting themselves up for the, you know, midterms. I mean, like, they passed this immigration bill. What was tucked away in that immigration bill? The slush fund again.
There you go.
It didn't go away. It's still there. But that gets people to say, you know, like John, who said, oh, I voted against it during all the midnight sessions, but it still passed, didn't it?
Right.
You know?
So, but do you?
You know, Congress is just positioning itself in the midterm. You know, they're not doing anything, you know, to actually do any, you know, any corrective actions. They're just positioning themselves. They're creating sound bites for themselves.
So why is Trump and his military, why aren't they able to overthrow Iran?
Because they didn't think it through.
Well, there you go. Matt, go ahead.
All right, so one of the first things you said when you called in was that the longest, you know, longest war...
Longest ground war.
Yeah, longest ground war was between Iran and Iraq, and that they were...
In the 20th century.
Yep, and that they were both superpowers, right? Or regional superpowers.
Yeah, regional superpowers.
Okay.
Regional powers.
All right. So, it took us, like, 2 weeks to walk through Iraq.
With ground troops.
Yeah, with ground troops.
Yeah.
Ground troops.
Well, I'm like look. What did I say? If we wanted to bring ground troops, we could do it. But, like, bombs are pretty ineffective. They just destroy things.
Yeah, but that was never going to happen in Iraq. That was exactly what was going to happen. And it was said that was what... Now, if you'd
said... Yeah, we said, hey, you ought to step down, or we're going to come in. And he didn't step down, so
Congress
he had to come
voted
in.
For that war.
Well,
Congress voted for that. We took a vote. And by the way, my point, that is the difference. If somebody would have said, we're sending ground troops to Iran, well, of course I would have said that Iran can't stand up to that. But I would have also said, there's a reason we haven't sent ground troops into Iran since the 1970s, and they've done more horrible things to the United States, in theory, than Iraq ever did. They had the Iran hostages and did not return them. We had to make a deal with them under Reagan, and that almost toppled his presidency and sent people to prison. The Iran hostage crisis, trading arms for hostages because we did not want to go to war with them. Obama made the Iran nuclear deal with them because he did not want to go to war with them. Why have we always not wanted to send the ground troops over there?
Why didn't we just send the Shah back to Iran?
Because he was our friend.
Yeah, but he's not now.
And because it
ship
was
him back.
Because we had a rule in this country, we do not negotiate with terrorists.
And well, it sounds to me like we negotiated with terrorists.
No, we didn't give him back.
Not him, but we gave him arms. I don't know what
was
worse.
Well, that was illegal, and people went to jail over that.
Good! Yes, they should have. I would have rather given up the Ayatollah. I don't care about the Ayatollah. I had the Shah.
Yeah, but
I don't really care about the Shah.
But we don't negotiate
with
terrorists.
I'm more a fan of the Americans who are being held hostage.
But
I would have turned in the Shah.
Bob, my question was, though, why did all these presidents, with all the terrible things Iran, far worse than
I answered this question.
You know what Iraq did? Iraq kicked our weapons inspectors out. That's about all Iraq ever did to the United States. And we went in on them. Now,
well, it's because they had nukes, allegedly.
But what? Well, Iran apparently too. But why have we never, with the Iran hostage crisis, Iran-Contra, Obama's Iran deal, why have we never went in there?
I think Matt kind of touched on it, because those prior presidents had better advisors.
Right, but this is what I mean. If the truth is that Iran has no power and Iran is just like Iraq, and if we
That's not the truth, though.
And that's my point. That's the point I've been trying to make since the beginning. Iran is not Iraq. We're not going to march ground troops in there. We never were. That's never going to happen. No president was ever going to do it because it would not be Iraq. And coincidentally, what we got out of Iraq was ISIS.
ISIS. Well, yeah. That's
and the other point there is, you know, Congress just passed the resolution that, you know, that we have to withdraw from Iran within so many days. Well, let me ask you the question. Are we actually in Iran?
Of course not.
What are we going to withdraw from?
The Strait of Hormuz.
No, we're not in the Strait of Hormuz because we don't control that.
Right. Let me ask you, Bob.
We have a blockade on a blockade.
Yeah, okay, but that.
But that's not in Iran.
But why isn't
we can't let them control that either?
But that's my question. Why isn't that working, Bob? I thought the blockade on the blockade was supposed to clear up all this gas problem. We're going to blow that Strait of Hormuz wide open.
They haven't had any, like, big battle.
Why?
Have a big battle.
There's also other people helping Iran. There's Russia and China.
Now, that's the point. Because does anybody ever bring that up? Because that's the real truth.
That they're being supported by Russia and China?
Well, exactly. Well, yes, but people don't seem to understand Iran was always supported by Russia and China. That was a main reason.
They're only allies because everybody else hates them. But Iran, Russia, and China have to be allies because otherwise
the ridiculousness of your question then. You're acting like Iran is an island of itself. And if we march ground troops in there, Russia and China is just going to go, oh, sorry, Iran. Oh, no, we're not dealing with that. Russia's got nuclear weapons full out. They don't like us right now. China.
Nobody's going to drop a nuke.
No, nobody's going to drop a nuke, but why do we care if Iran has one then?
I agree. Why do we care if Iran has a nuke? I agree. 100%. Give Iran the nukes.
And you don't know that nobody will drop one.
Nobody's going to drop a nuke.
Okay.
You ever heard, like,
till it happens.
Mutually assured destruction.
Is it?
No.
Yeah.
What wasn't for us in Japan?
Well, nobody else had nukes.
But all those other people are going to go straight to heaven because, you know, they're fighting the evil, you know, U.S. empire.
But Bob...
So they don't care whether they get destroyed.
Everybody's going to
heaven. Bob, isn't the truth really here, to wrap this hour up, isn't the truth really that the United States knows this is not a war with Iran? This is a war with Iran, backed by China, backed by Russia, and if we would ever march ground troops into Iran, if we would ever attack the Strait of Hormuz and blow the thing open, that China and Russia are going to be right there. They're not going to let Iran be defeated. Is that not true?
I believe there is that very strong warning sign.
Yeah, and that's it. That's the story. So 70% of Iran's military, how much of Russia and China's military is intact?
Russia can't even handle Ukraine. I think Russia's got bigger fish to fry. China's worried about Taiwan.
But see, Bob, that right there is the logic that drives me insane. It is that Russia has been fighting the war with Ukraine now for, what, 3 years? Now, Ukraine was supposed to be little old Ukraine. They're just going to bust that wide open because Russia's got a military and he's the big, bad, evil empire.
It's the same thing. You want to know why it failed? Because Russia has terrible advisors. They're all loyal to Putin.
This has nothing to do with advisors. This has to do with the fact that people do not want to surrender their country, and people will back them up. And you know who's backing up Ukraine? Us.
The advisors of Russia went and looked at Ukraine and said, oh, wow, this is going to be easy.
Right.
And then they told Putin that it was going to be easy because Putin thought it was going to be easy.
So why wasn't it?
Because
the United States backed them up. If we had not, Ukraine would have fallen.
Yeah.
And you think Russia and China are not doing that with Iran right now?
I don't think they've given any guns. I know that Russia and China are giving, like, military personnel.
You don't think we know that that's the threat?
But did they give out military? I mean, like, yeah, they, I mean, yes, they've given like military positions and assistance to Iran via their satellites
so
and
again,
military equipment.
So again, Bob, before we wrap up this hour, isn't it just simply the truth that we are not at war with just Iran? Iran was never just little Iran. Israel knew that. We know that. And Russia and China certainly know that. True or false, Bob?
Was there a question there?
Well, is that the facts? Is anything wrong in that statement?
Well, I don't understand why we're even in Iran or dealing with Iran at this point anyway, because if they have nuclear weapons, then we should have a strategy to get rid of the nuclear weapons. And we don't.
Now, that probably could have been done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why we're there, and I don't know if anybody has a straight answer as to why we're there.
Why do we care if they got nukes?
Well, we care if they're really seriously planning to use them against us, but we don't know that.
That
case has never been made.
That's the Israel tie.
If they were planning on dropping a nuke on us, would we not just drop a nuke on them?
I don't think we'd be the first to act. No.
No.
Well, we are not taking the collateral damage.
We wouldn't be the first to do it, but if they dropped the nuke on us.
But how many people does that kill? Where are you dropping it?
We leveled 2 cities to end World War II. I don't think we care.
And why do you think no other country's ever done it?
Because mutually assured destruction.
No, that's not what.
Yes.
Oh, that's baloney.
No.
That is absolute baloney. The reason is because we know.
Massive retaliation and mutually assured destruction.
Okay, the answer was. Is because we knew what happened there. We knew we shouldn't have done that. Truman regretted it. It was not a good move. And every other country knows it's not a good move. And we didn't have any fear of mutually assured destruction.
Because nobody else had nukes!
Okay, then why all the years during the Cold War did nobody ever fire anything?
Because mutually assured destruction.
That's what you thought would happen.
Yes.
No.
If one nuke got dropped.
I don't think that's why.
If you nuke me one time, I nuke you 5 times. You nuke me 5 times, I'm going to nuke you 12 times. It's massive retaliation and mutually assured destruction.
Bob, do you think that's the reason why nobody's ever dropped a nuclear weapon?
Well, I think they saw the devastation in Japan, and they know that it's even worse today. And
that's right.
You know, I think when it comes down to the Cuban Missile Crisis, is that diplomacy was a better channel.
Yes, nobody.
Nobody wants another nuclear bomb.
Why did we not drop a nuke on Vietnam? Were we afraid they were going to fire back on us?
Because it wasn't worth it.
Right, and that's exactly right. This has never been about mutually assured destruction. It's about what you do to a country, how you're seen in the world, the enemies you
Then why does anybody have nukes? Just get rid of them. Save us all the
Why does anybody have an army? Because they are ready.
Why does anybody have a gun?
You know, yeah, we're all ready.
You know, if that's the reason people have guns, because it's self-defense.
Right.
Why does anybody ever do anything, you know, to prepare against...
Right, and by the way...
Hold on.
And by the way, if Iraq did have a nuclear weapon, which we now know they didn't, you can guarantee they would have fired it on us as we were marching ourselves into Iraq.
We would have
nuked them. But they got defeated anyway. The guy ended up in a hole and hung. The man who would have given the call. You can guarantee that if he had a nuclear weapon, he would have been happy as we're marching ourselves in and telling him exactly when we're marching in, he would have fired it off. What would have been... Let's hold it until they dig me out of a hole.
Look, North Korea's got nukes. Nobody seems to be all that worried about North Korea.
We're not marching in there either.
No, we're not marching into there. You guarantee we ever get go past the DMZ, they're firing something at us. Try to march some troops over there.
They're not firing a nuke.
Oh, you bet they. Do you think that North Korea would fire on us if we attacked them?
I believe so.
Absolutely. They've already threatened it. They were testing bombs that made us nervous.
We test bombs. Russia tests bombs. Like, Russia's... Like, we were in the process of giving Ukraine...
Right. Well, that wraps up this hour.
We were in the process of giving...
Hey, thank you for calling. Happy Donut Day. Thank you, Bob. All right, and that wraps up this discussion for the day. Scott Spear, we'll be back at 8 o'clock tonight. Scott Spear's heading for the dugout.
Scott, you've not lived until you've had mashed potatoes and fruitcake, birthday fruitcake, graduation fruitcake, cream of fruitcake, and oh, the possibilities are endless.